Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go.
Lettuce.
Talk about lettuce.
Yeah. You know how we wrote that intro?
Yeah.
How?
I recorded a thing and I sent that to you and said put some lyrics on this and then you did.
That's right. You recorded that music?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you just found that music.
I forget now. I either recorded it or I found it.
Oh, okay. And then I'm like, huh, well, it's going to be called Two Guys Talking About Lettuce. So I said lettuce.
Man, that just shows your genius right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very meaningful, very powerful song, I think.
It certainly is.
And now, has it already played or is it about to play?
No, I don't think it's going to play at all. Oh, there it is. It is playing. It is playing. Welcome, everybody, to Two Guys Talking about Lettuce. My name is Greg Benson.
My name is Greg Benzine.
Oh my God, what a beautiful singing voice you have. Lettuce. You're like an angel. The voice of an angel.
I mean, I imagine an angel sounds like.
No, they sound just like you sound.
Okay. Well, thank you. What's going on? What's new, Greg?
Well, I have to tell everybody, I have to cop to it, that yesterday we recorded an episode and today we recorded an episode. We're trying to get back ahead of schedule again because we basically had caught up to our own schedule. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing two episodes in a row, and who knows, maybe even a third this week. But here's mm-hmm. the deal. I forgot both of our recording times, and I just forgot. And then all of a sudden I get texts from Craig. What's going on? You ready or what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right, we're doing a thing.
You having a few too many of those gummies, Greg? A few too many gummies?
I tell you something, man. I just feel like maybe it's the Christmas season. It's the holiday season. There's just a lot going on. You know, Kim is sick right now. Holidays. My wife is sick right now. Yeah. She's resting in the other room. Hopefully I'm not waking her up by saying loud things like, my wife!
Mm-hmm. Stop saying it then.
Stop saying that. You're right. I'll be quiet. Yeah. So she's got a cold, which hit her yesterday morning. Charlie and I are hoping we don't get it, but you know how it is. When somebody's got a cold in the house, sometimes hard to avoid. And I was making out with her.
You believe sicknesses are spread by contact? Is that
I think
believe?
So. And I was making out with her the night before, like late that night, the night before she got sick the next morning. So unless I'm just immune to this particular bug, I imagine I'm going to get it any second.
Why does it, when you hear about a husband making out with their wife, why does that sound obscene? Why does that just
It
sound
shouldn't. I mean, husbands should wrong. Make out with their wives and wives should make out with their husbands.
But should they talk about it? Because everyone knows already. I mean, they're husband and wife. They probably make out every night.
I'm just saying that we've shared germs. I put my mouth on her mouth. And
gross.
Yeah, it's not gross. It's actually a lovely, wonderful thing. I recommend it to everybody.
Okay.
I think everybody should put their mouths on everybody's mouth.
Oh, I'm glad you were going to. Yeah, I thought you were going to say everyone should put their mouth on your wife.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's part of everybody. She's one person out of everybody. Everyone should always listen. Everybody, take my advice. Mm-hmm. Whenever you meet anyone, put your mouth on their mouth and move it all around. Breathe back and forth.
That's why you get so close to me when I arrive at your house.
Yeah, I'm like, let's put our mouths on each other's mouths.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
Come on, it's a thing.
I don't.
It's a thing.
It's not. No. I mean, it does feel good in certain contexts, but.
I will say this. Your beard is itchy.
Mm-hmm. You don't know that because we've never actually kissed.
So. Oh, right. Wink, wink.
And also the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's the truth. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Wink. Meaning, yeah, definitely the truth.
Yeah. No, I just had a little something in my eye.
Oh, okay.
And whenever I wink, it makes that loud wink, wink sound.
Oh, the sound that comes from your mouth that says wink, wink?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Greg, so since we haven't seen each other for approximately 24 hours, 23 and some change.
Yeah.
Tell me everything that happened since I last saw you.
Well, I got a big audition for General Hospital. It's the fourth time that they've called me in. And when I say big audition, I mean there's just like lots of long dialogue for General Hospital. So I need to work on that and get that dialogue down. But that's why I distracted this morning. I record my dialogue and then I listen to it over and over and repeat it. And I'll go for a walk in the neighborhood and just listen to it over and over and over. And that's how I learn my lines.
Oh, so you actually try to do a good job.
I do. And, you know, Kim told me, that's my wife, by the way. My wife.
Okay.
She told me.
Yeah,
quiet. Don't wake her up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Craig, seriously, don't wake her up. She told me that she was listening recently to an audiobook by Rob Lowe. There's an actor named Rob Lowe. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I think most people have heard of Rob Lowe. Yeah.
He was talking about how he memorizes lines because, you know, he's done, you know, West Wing. He's done Aaron Sorkin and tons of long passages of dialogue. And with someone, a writer like Aaron Sorkin, you got to get that stuff verbatim. You can't just ad lib your way through it like you can, honestly, with a lot of TV. As long as you get really close to the dialogue, you're fine.
Sounds like with soap operas, it doesn't matter that much.
Matters. I will tell you this. It matters for the audition. They want you to get the dialogue right. But once you're on set, if you screw up the dialogue, one take, let's move on.
They don't have time. Yeah.
They don't have time. And as long as you're close enough and they're like, we understand what you meant. And you're like, but I flubbed my line. They're like, yeah, people flub speeches all the time. When they're talking, they just mess up what they say. It's fine. We're moving on. They don't even have time to tell you that. That's just the feeling you get from them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they're shooting an hour of television every single day. That's crazy. Yeah.
I did about 2 to 5 minutes of YouTube 5 days a week. And that was a lot.
And if you've written out stuff ahead of time, that will help you learn to memorize. It's also just a muscle that you have to exercise. So frankly, the past 6 months where there's been the writers and the actors strike, I've been sort of out of practice. So Kim was listening to this Rob Lowe audiobook, and he was talking about one of the tricks that he used, especially when working on that Sorkin show, to memorize dialogue. And I think this is a really cool tip, and I'm going to try it today.
What's the tip?
Well, one thing that I've always done, in addition to listening
just
over and over
tip,
and repeating.
Greg. Just the
just
tip.
Just the tip. I get it. It's a reference to a penis.
Mm. Okay. Sure. I was talking about, you know, how you give money to your wait staff.
Oh, right. Okay. Or a penis to your wait staff, which I recommend everyone do. Put your mouth on them and give them the tip of your penis. Okay. Let's move on.
No. Don't do those things.
All right.
I am not condoning that in any way.
So another thing that I do to memorize lines, especially when I have a lot of dialogue, is I literally write them out 2 or 3 times on paper. Mm-hmm. Just write them. There's something about your hand moving and you writing the words, and it just helps it stick in the brain better. But this tip from Rob Lowe, which he apparently got from Alice and Janney, they both use it, and they both say that it cuts their memorization time in half, is that once you start to get familiar with the lines, you write the lines out, except you only write the first letter of each word on the page.
Whoa. Interesting.
Yeah. So if your line is, hand me that piano, Napoleon, you would write H-M-T-P-N.
Is that one of your lines for this episode?
N. No, it's not. No, I can't tell you one of my lines. You know why? Because it says right here, it says confidential material. You see?
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you my lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cannot tell you.
I want to know the context of the hand me the piano, Napoleon. Like, where is that? What's that from?
Well, let's say that Napoleon, like, let's say you're hanging out with Napoleon and he's got a piano that you really want. Or actually, probably more Napoleon's time is probably a harpsichord. So you're probably like, hey, hand me that harpsichord, Napoleon. You know?
But isn't it very big?
They're large. They're large and they're very, but Napoleon was extremely strong.
Oh, so this is like, I imagine this is like a story involving like superhero Napoleon.
Regular Napoleon was superhero Napoleon. He was so strong. He used to show off. He used to be able to lift a harpsichord with one arm, which is why he always kept his other arm in his jacket.
Oh, I didn't know either of those things.
Yeah, that's the truth. He would keep his other arm in his coat, lift a harpsichord with the other arm. I mean, if you look really closely at some of those paintings, he's got his arm in one jacket, and then the other arm he's holding a harpsichord.
I don't remember the holding the harpsichord.
You should look again. That. A lot of people are so obsessed with that arm in the coat. They're like, why is his arm in the coat? And they're like, no. Why is he holding a harpsichord in the other arm? That's what people should be concerned with.
That arm in the coat is so distracting that I don't even I can't even picture the harpsichord.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But I mean, that's how they get you. It's like when they give you breadsticks at Olive Garden. Oh, have more breadsticks. Oh, great. Yeah. That's how they get you.
It's like that whole blue dress. Is the dress blue? Is the dress white or whatever?
And you know what I say? I say there's no dress.
Huh. So did you actually look at the dress? Did you?
I don't need to. I think the dress doesn't exist.
But that's just because you never looked at it. What?
Whoa, what's that? What's happening with your computer?
Oh, someone is at my front door.
Really?
Ringing my doorbell. Yeah.
Do you need to go get it?
I don't know. Talk amongst yourself.
All right. I'm going to talk amongst myself. Hey, everybody. This is your favorite part of the podcast. This is where Greg Benson gets to let you know his thoughts on everything. Here we go. Dogs are real nice. I like to pet them. And sometimes they'll jump up and give you a little kiss on the nose, and you'll be like, "Ooh, it's all wet." But then it's like, "Oh, my dog loves me." This is not as easy without Craig here. I don't know what to do. I feel sad and lonely. I feel like I'm panicking now. I'm having a panic attack. Normally Craig's here to make this easier, but I don't know what to do. I'm so scared. Oh God, I'm so scared. The walls. They're moving in on me. Oh, here comes Craig. So anyway, and that's the story of the soybean. Hey, Craig.
Really?
Yeah. I told everyone the whole story, and we had a great time. I mean, it was a fun discussion.
About a soybean?
Yeah, about the whole origin of the soybean.
Now,
anyway,
who did you discuss with? Discussion's usually more than one person.
I know, but we have a lot of listeners, so there's me and all the other listeners. Let me ask you, who was at your door?
My neighbor. She was wondering if we had gotten mail in the past few days, because she hasn't gotten mail.
She hasn't gotten mail? Let me ask you something. Does she have, really big tits?
No, not particularly.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Really, really spicing up the conversation, Greg. Wow. Wow.
I don't know why. I'm like, my brain is like, what's the most inappropriate question I can ask about Craig's neighbor?
Wow. Wow, Greg.
Wow. Oh, shit.
She hasn't gotten mail. She's wondering how. And she was, the clothes she was wearing wasn't very revealing. So, I can't
so really. So she might. She might.
Yeah.
If she's, wearing a coat and she's got her arm, one arm in the coat.
And she's holding a harpsichord. Yeah.
You'd be like, man, you've got Napoleon strength.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, that's the name of this episode, Napoleon Strength.
Incidentally, I checked the mail while she was out there, and we did have mail. So, but I don't check it every day. China's the one who checks it, and she's out of town, so I don't know when we got that mail.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible that she is just not very popular, and that's why she doesn't get mail?
Well, it's her and her husband. Chances are one of them's got to be popular, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds like something's up. Something funny going on here.
Well, here's the thing that I've noticed when you join that horrible, horrible app called Nextdoor, and you learn how awful and racist and frightened all of your neighbors are about everything.
Oh my God, there's a car parked outside and there's a black man in it.
It's a horrible app. I mean, you really do find out, oh my God, I live in a neighborhood full of crazy people.
Yes, right.
And also, they can't spell. my neighbors cannot spell. I've always prided myself.
I've prided myself
uh-huh. on my spelling, not my grammar, but my spelling. And my neighbors cannot fucking spell.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Greg.
Someone said they were in dire need of something and they spelled it D-Y-E-R. I'm like, come on, uh-huh. Jesus fucking Christ. Can you just learn to spell?
Whoa. Calm down, Greg.
I just get angry. I get angry when people can't spell.
Yeah, my China is texting me because we have a camera and she saw that our neighbor was here and she's now wants to know why.
And she's like, are you flirting with our big tits neighbor? Is that what she said?
That is no, because we haven't established that our neighbor, the body type of my neighbor.
Why don't you respond right now to China and say, don't worry, I wasn't flirting with her. Her tits are normal size.
No, I won't be saying that.
Yeah, come on. Come on, just say it. That would be amazing if you just...
She would wonder if I was having a stroke, I think. She would wonder...
And then you could say, this text written by Greg Benson.
All right,
basically...
I will do that. What do I have to say?
Say, don't worry, I wasn't flirting with her. Tits are... Say her tits are...
This feels very weird. This feels very weird to be saying this.
Say her tits are average size for her body.
And then
just send that, and then you can follow it up with a second text, which said...
I will follow it up very quickly with a second text.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm waiting. I'm going to see if she responds.
In fact, I'm going to type out the second text and copy it so I can send it right away.
I don't know. Give her 10 seconds to respond.
And by Greg Benson during a lettuce recording.
Oh, she's going to have to listen to this. She's going to have to listen to this episode. I think she'll enjoy it. This is fun. I didn't have anything planned for today because I forgot we were doing a recording. And this is just fun.
This is just disturbing, Greg.
Sometimes, when
you don't plan, you become very offensive.
Or when I'm awake, I become very offensive. I'm an offensive person. Well, I went to a party this past Saturday night, a birthday party, for a friend of mine. Someone I actually know, not a stranger. I didn't go to a stranger's birthday party. I've done that before, but I didn't do that this time.
Okay.
I have done that before, but that's another story. Remind me and I'll tell you that story. Kim, by the way, is my wife. I don't want to wake her up. We went to a friend's birthday party because he made a cake. And that guy can make, that guy makes a perfect chocolate cake. Very moist. It's made with pudding and it's got chocolate chips in the cake. It's so good.
Now, is it a flourless chocolate cake?
Oh, no. It's got plenty of flour. It's got extra flour. So good.
Okay.
So good. Anyway, we go to his...
Now, I sent the text, and I'm waiting for China to respond. I am not getting a response. So,
did you send the follow-up text also?
Oh, I did. I did send the follow-up text.
You're such a fraidy cat.
Well, you know? I've never said anything remotely like that before.
And she's probably with her mom, and her mom read that text.
Could have.
Yeah.
Your mom would probably find it funny, though.
Which is hilarious. Instead, it's really just hilarious. All right, so we go to this party, and there are several people at the party that I have not met before. And let me just tell you something. When I'm at a party, and I'm in party mode, I don't really make a great impression, I think, on strangers. Because I can tell just by the way that they look at me, I am highly inappropriate. I'm a highly inappropriate person at parties.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
I just say whatever the hell I want to. And I think I do that because I enjoy the reactions that I get.
Yes, you do. You are a highly inappropriate person. You challenge me every episode, Greg.
Yeah,
episode.
But I feel like that's just part of our relationship. And that's one of the reasons why you enjoy the time that we spend together.
I do. I feel like I'm reminded, oh yes, you don't need to follow rules.
Well, that's true. That's true. I really don't. Yeah. It has gotten me in trouble plenty of times in my life. It really has. But this is not one of them. Is she replying? Did she reply?
She has not replied yet, and now I'm concerned. So,
well, you know what? Listen, let it go.
I think you've got me into trouble. So.
I don't think so.
No. I highly doubt it. She's probably busy doing something else.
Yeah. She's probably busy flirting with her mom's neighbor.
Okay.
Who probably has enormous testicles.
That's probably irrelevant to the whole situation, but...
But I mean, he's probably the type of guy that when he wears like athletic shorts, his testicles mm-hmm. just like are bulging
now,
out of the bottom of the
now,
shorts.
Now, do girls like that?
They love it.
Or men who like men?
Yeah. Men and women both like it. When you can just see just like the curvature of the testicles just hanging out below the bottom of the athletic shorts and their mm-hmm. enormous testicles. Oh, yeah. Men and women. Everybody loves that.
I don't get the appeal of the whole organ, so I don't.
It's very popular.
I wouldn't be the one to ask.
Yeah, no, seriously. If you saw someone like that wearing athletic shorts and their balls are hanging out below the bottom of the shorts, you would be impressed. You'd be like, God damn, that guy's got some big balls.
No,
look at
I
the
would
big
probably
balls
be
on
like,
that guy.
You need to adjust your shorts so people don't see that because I don't really want to see that.
That's you don't want to see that?
No, you're the
only one.
I don't think so.
You're the only one in life who doesn't want to see a man's balls hanging out below his shorts.
I don't, Greg. Next time we do a podcast, you should prepare because what we're getting into here, I don't know.
I probably just laughed so hard I woke Kim up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. That's funny. I probably should prepare. You're right, because this is inappropriate. All right, here's a story of when I believe I even made a video. It's probably one of my second channel videos about crashing someone's party. I've done this more than once, but when I moved into my last house and I'm on the, you know, in this new neighborhood and I wanted to meet my neighbors, you know, and a lot of times you hear these stories about you move into a house and then your neighbor brings you a pie. You know, I mean, my friend moved into a new house and his neighbor brought him one of those huge Mrs. Fields cookie, it's a cookie that's the shape of a pie. It's really mm-hmm. big, soft cookie. By the way, I had some. It was delicious.
Okay.
He didn't even eat the whole thing before it went stale. I'm like, my God, I would have finished this thing in a day. But anyway, now I have never gotten a pie or a cookie when moving into a house. I just move into a house and then my neighbors just kind of ignore me until I see mm-hmm. them outside. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go outside and meet my neighbors. And then I do mm-hmm. because I'm an outgoing person. I like to meet my neighbors.
And then you find out that they're bad spellers and they're racist.
Yeah. Well, luckily I've been very lucky with neighbors. I only have one neighbor. I only have one racist neighbor in my right in my immediate neighborhood here. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I want in my last neighborhood, I wanted to meet the neighbors. I had just moved in, and like the week that I moved in, somebody was having a party about three houses down, and I just went there on my own. No, I know my friend Dave was with me. I'm like, hey, let's go to their party. They got a party. There's a bunch of people there. Let's go to their party. And we went to their party. The only problem with that is when you just walk into someone's house, first of all, no one goes like, excuse me, what? Who are you? No, you don't get that. You walk in, you're friendly, like, hey, how's it going? And you're talking to a bunch of people. Most of the people there were younger than we were. Most people there were like in their 20s. I was in my 30s at the time. Walked around through the house, just kind of said hi to everybody, was really friendly. People were friendly back. Could not figure out whose house it was. That's the problem. Didn't know who actually lived there. There were a lot of people there. But I will tell you that. I will tell you this. The food and drinks they had were terrific. I enjoyed just hanging out there, eating some food, drinking some drinks. And then after a while, we're like, well, I guess we're done here. And then we left. Never did meet those neighbors. Never did figure out who those neighbors. No, never did. And they didn't have another party. But I really did enjoy their party.
Probably because of you.
Plenty of food, had some delicious beverages.
Okay, good.
And I would recommend that to everybody.
To walk into someone's home uninvited?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. There's free drinks and food.
I mean, I guess there are free drinks. Anything's free if you don't pay for it.
Hey, you know what else is free if you don't pay for it? The Patreon-only bonus section, which starts now.
Wait.
Huh?
Before it starts. Uh-huh. Don't start, because China responded. I want to say.
Oh, my God. You better tell people what China said after the Patreon-only bonus section, which starts right now.
This portion of Two Guys Talking About Lettuce has been edited out for your listening inconvenience. If you wish to hear the complete, unedited version with the bonus talking, be sure to visit patreon.com/twoguystalkingaboutlettuce. And now, back to the edited, not as good version of the podcast.
And that's the end of the Patreon-only section.
Wow, man, that was good. You timed that really, really well.
Yeah.
It was very impressive.
Sure did.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's not waste any more time. Let's hear China's response to that brilliant... First of all, please read the text that you sent her and then her response. Just okay. to remind everyone what happened.
I said, don't worry, I wasn't flirting with her. Her tits are average-sized for her body. I can't even say that with a straight face. I can't. And she said, LMAO. When I first read that, I was like, what the fuck? That is so out of character. yeah.
It's apparently not out of character for me.
No. And then I said, this text sent by Greg Benson during a Lettuce recording. She probably was like, yep, that's in character. Yeah,
that makes sense. Greg Benson. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's something he'd say. Craig, sometimes I laugh so hard when we're recording this podcast, I cry. I just tear up and cry.
Oh, don't be sad. Don't be sad.
They are tears of laughter. And I feel like laughing is so important. I wish laughter on everyone, even bad people. I hope that even bad people can laugh and it makes their life better and maybe they won't be so bad.
Even Charles Manson?
Well, he's dead. That guy ain't laughing anymore. Okay. That guy's dead.
Okay, so, but there are other equally bad or worse people alive still. Do you want them to laugh?
Yeah, sure, why not? As long as it's maniacal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people know.
Bad people do a maniacal laugh. You're right. It's a warning laugh.
Mm-hmm. So people know that they're evil.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the way you know someone's evil, if their laugh is maniacal.
All you evil people who are listening, you know who you are.
Do you think we have evil listeners? I never thought about that.
I would say, what's the percentage of the population that's evil? What would you think?
Well, I would hope it'd be less than 1%.
Okay, well then there's a chance we don't have an evil person listening.
But I guess you got a point. Like someone could be listening to this, and their secret could be like, "I've killed 8 people. Killed 8 people, and their bodies are whatever." Like,
think about all the people who have watched all the things we've done. Some murderers have watched our content.
That is so true. It's really scary as shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
the first time that has occurred to me.
That's why no one should do anything publicly.
Yep, because murderers.
This part of the podcast has been removed. It was highly inappropriate and no one should be subjected to that schniz. Also, dogs are real nice. I like to pet them. And now back to the podcast, which is already in progress.
And that's the story of the soybean. I just wanted to share that with you also. You see, when I cut something out, because I've never cut anything out, I'm going to make it appear as if I told you the story of the soybean, just like I did to everyone else.
Oh, and that's why you cut it, because it was repetitive.
Yeah.
Okay. But actually, we definitely didn't cut anything.
No, we didn't cut anything.
Okay, there's nothing cut out of this episode. Is that the first time that we've cut something out of the episode?
Yeah, it is.
Is that really?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever cut anything out before. Okay. Now people are going to be
just
like
a downer thing we were talking about.
People are
going to
be like, what did they cut out?
It's not something controversial. It's just a downer. We cut it out.
Yeah. We don't want to cut downer things. We don't want to have downer things in here.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, Greg. I told you yesterday I do have a Patreon live thing to do right after this.
Oh, yeah, you do.
At noon.
And now it's like 20 until noon for you.
Yeah. So
we're going to cut this short. Like in another 9 minutes, we're going to be done, right? Is that what you're saying?
So get it all out. Everything you need to say.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. Whoa. Hey, man. get your put on the hamburger.
Oh no, Greg, you're too fast. You're thinking too fast.
No, yeah, you're, I can't. My mouth isn't keeping up with.
Yeah, Greg. Maybe don't get everything out. Just pick one thing.
I was trying to get one. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to say it slowly so I can just get one thing out. Whoa. Yeah. Hey, man, get on the hamburger.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what you were trying to say.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
Wait, is that a California thing? Get on the hamburger?
Oh, yeah. It's a California saying. We say that all the time. Hey, how you doing, man? I'm pretty good. All right, man, get on the hamburger. Yeah, all right. You too, man.
What does that mean? Does that mean
it's just California? You have to live in California to understand.
Really?
California thing.
No translation there?
Just, Do you know, here's the deal. Living in California, first of all, it's a wonderful thing. California is a wonderful place. It's beautiful. Sure, there are a lot of dangers here. You know, we get the fires and the earthquakes and the mudslides and all that stuff. Everybody's got something, I feel. Everybody's got something. Maybe where you live, you have less something than we do.
And more something. We definitely have more cold. And We have more tornadoes. We have less earthquakes.
Yeah.
Far less
there you
earthquakes.
Go. But I always assume that, you know, because California is such a beautiful place, like especially the weather. It's so nice here all the damn time. Even when it's cold, it's just like, it's a little chilly, which is just nice. You know, this morning I took my son.
It is too hot sometimes.
Not for me because I love swimming. I don't mind it being 100 degrees.
It also gets swimming. Hot. It gets too hot here, too, though.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, then you should swim. So this morning I dropped my son off at school. I took him to school, and then we always park blocks away. Like everybody else tries to fight for the closest parking space. I park blocks away because I love walking with my son to school in the morning. We often hold hands as we walk, and we have nice talks, and we walk for two or three blocks to school, which is great. And this morning it was 60 degrees. It's had nice cool breeze. It just felt great. And that's about how cold it gets in the mornings, you know, sometimes in the 50s. It's lovely. And I just think, I don't know. If I didn't live in LA, I would probably be envious of the weather in LA. But it turns out, as you read stuff that people have posted online, that a lot of people who don't live in LA think that people must be crazy to live in a town like LA.
People think that, yes. I think a lot of people who don't live in a city think it would be crazy to live in a city.
Yeah. And I think that people who live in cities must often think that it must be crazy to live out in the middle of nowhere.
I grew up in a town of 2,000 people and I lived in Chicago for 12 years.
And you've experienced both.
Yeah. And it does seem like small town folk or even mid-sized town like Madison folk get very overwhelmed by big cities. They get very overwhelmed by Chicago, very overwhelmed by LA, and
say your words, come on, use your words, man, let's hear it. Use your words.
I think it's just an acquired taste, either one, a small town or a big city. You just have to get used to it. It's just different.
It's just different. I mean, you have experienced both. It seems to me like you probably prefer cities over small towns.
Absolutely prefer cities. But I would prefer a city where I don't have to drive. LA, that's my main problem with LA is too much driving. But
It depends on what you do. I mean, you know, I'm an actor, and luckily now for me, which I love, most of my auditions are home tapes, so I get to record them at home, which means I could do 20 takes if I want until I just get it perfect, and then I upload the audition, and then often just book the job right from the tape that I made at home. And it's not even a tape. It's obviously just a video, but they just call them home tapes.
But you still have to drive more than you would in, I did drive a bunch in Chicago too, but probably didn't have to drive as much as I did. But like New York, you don't even need to own a car in those.
Well, no, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But in LA, you know, LA is really not, I think we talked about this before also, it's not really one big city. It's a collection of tiny little towns all pushed together. So one town ends and the next town immediately begins. So what most people do, I think probably what everybody in LA does, is your area where you live is your own little village. and you mm-hmm. find your restaurants and your shops, and you find your people and your friends, and you find your activities, and they're all pretty close by. And every once in a while, you just have to, you know, drive 20, 25 minutes out of the way, and that's no big deal.
That wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. I could still live in LA. I still like LA. That's just my only issue with LA.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when they talk about LA, I wonder, or they talk about Chicago, or they talk about anywhere, any specific city, I wonder, they probably just live in a small town. They probably live in a small city or a small town, and they just don't like any big city, you know?
Could be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Could be.
I'm generalizing, of course.
Yeah.
Different cities.
And look, I have never lived in a small town. I moved from Dallas, Texas to Los Angeles, California. And Dallas is a big city, very mm-hmm. business-oriented city. Another one of those cities that just has everything that you need right there in the city.
That's what I love about cities. I love how everything's nearby.
Yeah, you can get everything. And you've got museums, and you've got all sorts of shops and great restaurants and all types of ethnic foods. And, you know, and that's just fun. And that's one of the things I love about LA is it's a melting pot. You got all types of people. You know, there aren't just your people. You've got people from all countries and from all different forms of thought. Sure, mm-hmm. LA obviously leans liberal. But that to me just is a byproduct of the fact that we have people from all over. And when you got people from all over, you quickly realize, hey, guess what? Everybody's the same. Everybody has friends. Everybody has family. Everybody wants love and security and safety. And that's really all it comes down to. So yeah. I think that's why LA is just more liberal, because we are exposed to more people. Most cities are
more liberal.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas I feel mm-hmm. that in small towns, you are only exposed to your kind of people, and you don't know what other people are like. And you're like, I don't know, I don't want those people around. You hear maybe bad things. You think bad things, or rumors start, or whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, have you noticed that this episode started off silly and then it got serious? Kind of like at the halfway point?
Yeah, it got pretty serious, Greg.
This is the very silly and then very serious episode.
Yeah. That's what we're going to call it?
Nope.
What are we going to call it?
Napoleon Strength.
I think we should call it the very silly and then very serious, because then everyone will keep listening because they'll want to know how it gets serious.
Okay. The very silly, then very serious episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I've made a note.
I was just thinking to myself earlier this morning that I would like to come back to LA. And I was actually thinking about what it would be like to live there. And I think I'd like it. I think I would like it there.
Oh, there's no doubt you would like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a delightful place to live.
I think I could live. I could live in a lot of places. I'm not that picky. I don't think I'd want to live in a small town again. When I think about living in my small town of 2,000 people, I think about how we had to drive to Madison all the time, or we had to drive to relatives in neighboring far, far away towns.
Yeah.
We just had to drive in the country all the time.
So it seems to me like there's, like in a big city, there's a lot of driving, and in a small town, there's also a lot of driving.
Well, in LA, there's a lot of driving, but in there's less driving, I think. Things are more close by. In any city, even in LA, the things you really need are close by, like there are grocery stores. We had to drive to the grocery store in the town that we had to drive far to the grocery store in the town that I lived in.
Yeah.
So.
And here I could literally walk to the closest grocery store. I don't, because it's LA, and who walks here?
Yeah.
You walk for exercise. You don't walk with a purpose.
No. What are you? You don't own a car? What's wrong with you?
What am I going to do? Go to the grocery store, then walk back carrying like 3 bags of groceries? Well, forget about it.
The grocery store is a trip that where you probably need the car.
All the ice cream would melt.
That's true.
98 degrees outside. I'm going to walk with ice cream.
You eat it on the way back.
I have to eat a whole package full of ice. I have to eat a whole package of Snickers ice cream bars on the way home. By the way, can we talk about how amazing Snickers ice cream bars are?
That is my go-to.
Holy shit, they are so good. And I realized that my son had never tried a Snickers ice cream bar.
Oh.
And so I said, oh, you got to try one. Now, he, like me, like when he gets his Halloween candy, Snickers is one of his least favorite things in the Halloween candy, which for me too. Mm. Like I love chocolate, but there's something about Snickers. I find it just sort of dry, and it's kind of like a payday. I'm not interested. I don't need to eat
Snickers.
That.
Payday? can go fuck itself.
Your payday can fuck itself. And a lot of people, listen, Snickers is very popular. I find Snickers kind of uninteresting and dry, you know, a little pasty in the mouth. I would much prefer a Milky Way or even a Three Musketeers. Yeah, I said it, folks. Mm-hmm. I would prefer to eat a Three Musketeers over a Snickers. So anyway,
I
said to him, I said, listen, Jimmy, I don't remember what his name is. It's Jimmy, I think. But I said, listen,
okay,
Jimmy.
Your son? Yeah.
My son. Is his name Jimmy or Bernard Charlie. Or something like that?
It's
I said,
Charlie.
Bernard,
you
got to trust me, Bernard. Snickers ice cream bars, it's like a totally different thing. He's like, I don't know. I said, trust me, we're going to get some. Try it. Oh my gosh, he fell in love with them. They're so good.
Oh my God. Whenever we're at a gas station and I need a snack,
that is the treat to get at a gas station, a Snickers ice cream bar.
Yes. We own an EV now, though, so I have less opportunity.
Oh, man. Well, then whenever you stop at an EV station, you should get yourself a Snickers ice cream bar.
Okay.
You know, my wife's name is Kim EV.
You're right.
Yeah.
She should be the spokeswoman.
For electric vehicles. Absolutely, she should.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Kim Electric Vehicles. That's all she'd have to do. Many people know me
as
Kim EV.
Yeah, that's a great ad campaign right there. It's a shame there's no company that is just electric vehicles.
Kim's last name is often mispronounced when people call her up, like for one reason or another, and they're can I speak with? And how do you think that they mispronounce her last name?
Evie.
Every time.
Evie.
Kim, I'm calling for Miss Evie.
Mm.
And she'll say, "Listen, you fucking dumb shit." That's how she'll usually start. She'll say, and my son will do that too. He'll be like, "Listen, you fucking dumb shit."
Oh no!
He will. By the way, yesterday my son pulled some belly button lint out of my belly button. He likes to pull my shirt up to see my belly button lint, so he pulled the belly button lint out of my belly button and he put it in his own belly button.
Oh God! This episode did end very serious.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Two guys
talking about lettuce. This was super fun. Thank you so much.
Talking about lettuce.
God, I want to say Carl. Is it Carl?
Lettuce. Are you talking about the audience?
To you. No, to you. I think it's Carl.
The audience is named Carl. Lettuce. I'm Craig.
You're Craig. You're Craig. I knew it was something with a C or a K or whatever. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, Carl.
Thank you for listening, all of you Carls. And we will see you next week.
Carl's plural. Thank you for listening, all Carl.
Carls. Carl.
Carl.
All Carl.
Yeah, all of you Carl. Yeah.
Baby, you can drive my Carl. I'm going to cut this part out. We're done.
No, don't cut this
part. No, this part's cut out. I already cut it out.
No,
it's already cut out.